But 120 on Wednesdays mean Mark Schlereth joins the show. He's our Odyssey NFL insider. Brought to, well, first of all, he's the host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast, and insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Okay, hold on, hold on.
All right.
Are you playing Frogger this week, Stink?
Am I what?
Are you playing Frogger, like trying to get across the street dodging? Last week we had
you on. No, I'm sitting outside in this beautiful restaurant about to have lunch with my niece. And this street, I'm on 9th and between 45th and 44th. But it's not as loud. This street isn't as loud as the last one I was on. So I think we're in good shape.
Sounds nice. It sounds like you got a nice little afternoon ahead of you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little, but it's pleasant. It's very pleasant.
What isn't pleasant is the conversations we've been having about the Falcons the last 3 days. What happened, in your opinion, on Sunday against the Steelers?
Well, I mean, obviously they couldn't block T.J. Watt defensively. You know, it was interesting because I had a conversation on television today about, you know, do you go back to Russell Wilson when he's healthy, or do you keep it with Justin Fields? And, you know, I said, like, right now, as far as I'm concerned, Justin Fields won that job, and he earned that job based upon the way he played. And they're like, oh, 6 field goals. And I'm like, listen, wait a minute. They looked at the game, what's going to take to win this game? And it wasn't about taking risks when you got approached the high red zone inside the 30. It was about coming away with field goals because our defense is dominating. Right. So if you're Atlanta, you got to be really concerned about with your lack of offensive performance, your lack of offensive scoring, and, you know, and your inability to block the edge of their defense. And so, you know, they got down to the red zone twice, did Pittsburgh, once with about a 35-yard pass or whatever, to, I think, Pickens on a little post corner route where it was a beautiful throw, and then they just had to kick a field goal. And once at the very end of the game, the same kind of situation where they kicked the field goal, but I was trying to tell the guys that they weren't trying to score touchdowns when they got down there. They looked at it like, hey, all we need to do is kick field goals. We're going to win because our defense is dominating the Atlanta Falcons offense. So that's got to be the concern. And, you know, the balance on that, I understand what a dynamic runner that Bijan Robinson is, but you need some of that hammerhead with Algier as well. And I mean, you got 3 carries in that game. So I just look at some of the stuff that goes on sometimes, and you know, and you just kind of wonder what you're thinking when you put a game plan together like that.
What did you think about the Kirk Cousins situation in the pistol? We know, I mean, we talked about it. I know a lot of people talked about, you know, him under center, play action, all those different things. But what did you think about them having him in the pistol that many times in that one football game?
Well, it says one thing to me. He's not healthy.
Okay.
That's what it says, because he has been, historically, you go back to his time in Minnesota and his time in Washington, under the Shanahan system, the Gary Kubiak system, they are a team, or those guys are offensive coordinators that are going to have you under center a bunch. And, you know, one of the things you have to understand is when you're under center, the totality of your run game is at your disposal.
Mm-hmm.
When you get in the shotgun, it limits you. About 40% of your run game just gets kicked to the can, that you can't use it. Now, pistol opens up some of that stuff again, but the reason you get into pistol is you keep the entirety of your run game open, but your quarterback can't get out from underneath center to get the wide handoff, that mesh point, because it's probably not healthy enough to do that on a consistent basis. So that's the first thing that comes to my mind is he healthy? Can he do those things? And he's always been able to do those things. And then, you know, ultimately, when you're not doing that, the boot keep game and all that stuff gets hindered a little bit because there's less disguise. When you're coming out from center and you're flagging that ball and you're faking that handoff and then you're booting out the backside, there's some deception and there's some vision issues that you create for the defense. When you're in pistol, not so much.
Right.
So that it just signified to me that there's some health issues there that they're concerned about.
It doesn't get any easier on Monday, obviously traveling to Philadelphia, Monday Night Football, to take on the Eagles. Eagles looked – well, actually, how do you feel like the Eagles looked in their first game down in Brazil? What did you make of Philly's first game?
Yeah, you know, I thought that obviously they scored a lot of points, but, again, I didn't think they were great. I didn't think Jalen Hurts was great. And part of it is you look at what he's done the last – you know, the last six games of the year, I think he had five picks. He had one fumble lost. So six turnovers in the last six games. 15 interceptions last year alone. He starts off the season with two interceptions. And I think the thing that really bothered me was it was where those interceptions happened. It was game management. So I'll give you kind of a thought process as a guy that played a lot of football. Like, one of the things I always thought about on a play, any given play, is, like, where can I not get beat? So if I know I've got late help coming in, like, say, inside the A-gap, like a running back is going to release on a burst route or something of that nature, so I've got a late helper going through the A-gap, where can I not get beat? I can't get beat to my front shoulder, the B-gap. So I've got to set to take that stuff away, right? I've got to take that away. I'm not going to let you beat me there. And if you win late, backside, I've got the helper of a back rolling through that gap, getting a late release. So basically, I'm going to win that rep. I'm going to win that rep from the neck up. So as a football player, you've got to think this way, right? You've got to think about where your help is, how you can win each and every individual rep with the least amount of effort, right? So you got to win the game from the neck up. And two interceptions in that game by Jalen Hurts. One's coming off your own goal line, about the 5-yard line, on a third down and 15, where you're trying to force a ball down the middle of the field in what they call a buck cover two with the middle linebacker running with number three. And you throw it into basically what amounts to eventually triple coverage. And then coming into the goal line or coming into the red zone, you're in the red zone on a third and 13, and you have checkdowns on both of them. And you throw one in the end zone, and Jaire Alexander drops his coverage and goes and picks it off. But those are two really crappy decisions that put your team in harm's way and cost you a game. It costs you points coming off your own end zone, and it costs you points going in to your own goal line. So just really bad decisions in critical moments by Jalen Hurts is what's costing them games and cost them games down the stretch where they lost six of the last seven, including the playoffs last year.
Yeah, man. Hey, Mark, well, you are in New York City. We just heard the horn. How about those two teams that play up there? One was a complete disaster, and the other one still looks like they're trying to figure themselves out, talking about the Jets.
Yeah, well, the Jets are still going to be an outstanding team, I think. In the long run, they're still going to be a really good defense. They're still going to be a really good team. And Aaron Rodgers, one thing I would say that I thought was a real plus is Aaron Rodgers seemed to have found kind of his go-to conversion guy. And one of the things that Aaron and I talked about last time I did one of his games was, hey, listen, I've learned to let the scheme handle first and second down. But on third down, that's my down. On a conversion down, that's my down. And I'm going to find the guy that I know is going to get open. And even if he's double covered, he's not covered, because we're going to be on that same connection. I thought he found that in Garrett Wilson. And that first touchdown drive where they went 70 yards, I think he completed three first down throws to Garrett on third down. And so that was a really good connection. Now, defensively, they just got their ass kicked. Yeah. And so they've got to figure that part out. But I thought for the most part they had found a real connection. On the flip side of that, you mentioned that there's one team in New York that looks like an abject disaster. And I have the Giants, so don't tell anybody I said this. Guys, keep this to yourself. This is, we're in the trust tree.
We got you.
This is like guy talk.
Yep.
So don't be a D-bag, okay? Right? Just keep it to yourself. Danny Dimes cannot play. Like, he looks awful.
Right.
Just awful. And, and I'll give San Francisco, you talked about the Jets, I'll give San Francisco a lot of credit. They drafted Trey Lance. They moved from 12 to 3 to get him. They gave up three first-round picks, and they realized after they started playing him, oh, shoot, we screwed up. He can't play. So they ripped the Band-Aid off that gaping wound, and they moved on. Now, it helped that they drafted Purdy, but they evaluated Purdy, and they're the only one that felt good about putting a draft pick on him so he couldn't just be a free agent. Danny Dimes, like, at some point, what point are you going to rip off the Band-Aid? At what point do you realize that he can't lead your team to anything significant as far as wins are concerned? Since he signed his $160 million contract, he's thrown more pick sixes than he has touchdowns. So he's throwing more touchdowns to the other team than he's thrown to his own team.
Yeah.
Time to end the experiment.
Yeah, it's a disaster of a stat. Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can find Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Speaking of bad quarterback situations, how much trouble are the Browns in with Deshaun Watson?
A lot. There was a couple times in that game the other day where I thought to myself, are you sure you're right-handed? I thought, man, that is just awful. He's just awful. And now he's got another lawsuit filed against him, and just an abject freaking disaster. That's a good team. They can win the line of scrimmage, both offensive line wise, defensive line wise. They've got really good players, and he's holding them back. And you can't get out of that unless you know that it becomes like a. I think there's some outs in that based upon you know this latest allegation. And I think if you're Chicago Cleveland right now. You're hoping he gets convicted of something because like that contract right now, if they try to cut him, I think his dead cap next year is $172 million.
Yep.
I mean, it's insane. And, it's pathetic. Like here's the deal. You paid him $230 million total, right? $230 million guaranteed. Last year, four quarterbacks came in and played for the Cleveland Browns. All four of them were better than him. Joe Flacco and a bunch of other guys that I don't even remember their names. Every one of them was better than Deshaun Watson. And now, you know, he's got a, you know, the speculation right now, he's got a burner account called, I guess.
What?
Lloyd Bickerstaff. Yeah, the speculation.
Seriously?
Is, no, Leroy Bickerstaff. Look it up.
I'm looking it up
right now. Yeah, Leroy Bickerstaff. And right now, the speculation is it's Deshaun's burner account because all it's doing is supporting Deshaun and saying what a great quarterback he is and how he's the best quarterback and none of it's his fault and everything else. So there's a lot of speculation investigating right now that that's his burner account trying to support himself. What an absolute toolbox. I just cut it for being such a toolbox. Like, hey, we're going to suck for the next 2 years because this toolbox cost us all, like, we're the dumbasses that did it, though. Like, put yourself in a situation to lose. Don't be surprised when you lose because you're the dumbass that put yourself in that position.
I will say, Leroy Bickerstaff is a funny name to come up with. Like, if you're going to name a burner, that's a pretty funny name to come up with. Mark,
sure.
We appreciate it.
Appreciate
Thank
it,
you.
Brother.
Enjoy lunch.
All right. Take care.
Bye. Mark Schlereth there, Odyssey NFL insider. A lot of heat there for the quarterbacks in the NFL. That was brought to you by, well, first of all, you need to know that he hosts a podcast called the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. You can get that on the Odyssey app. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May yo game day be delicious.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, 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 yes. May it. Yo
game. May yo game day
it.
Be delicious. A little extra Hellman's there to make it such. Mm.